You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. And the bonus tag event is on right now. Receive $1,500 bonus cash towards the purchase of a new 2018 vehicle only at Lakewood Chev. Welcome in, Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine at NHL.com. Kevin, welcome back to the show. I know you're all geeked up because all the goalie people around the world got together at the networking goaltending conference. A lot was discussed. We're going to get to that in a second, but I want to start out with Don Waddell saying that Scott Darling was 15 pounds heavy last season. How does that happen?
That's a good question. And having not talked to Scott, I don't really have the answer for that. We've seen it in the past where, a guy gets a new contract, gets comfortable, or maybe the 15 pounds heavy estimate. I mean, I don't know that he said he was 15 pounds over what he played at the weight the year before. Maybe that's them saying this is what he needs to be a number one. Never saw Scott as a big heavy guy. But hey, I mean, you get a 4-year contract. You arrived. It's guaranteed money in the NHL. A lot of different things that could happen. Carolina, to be honest, not the best environment from some of the players I've talked to in terms of, how much help you get with that. And listen, hey, I'm no excuses. It's on the player. But talk to other guys who, body is your temple. They have strict diets. Guys that were gluten free as part of their diets. Having to leave the rink to go get something to eat in Carolina because that wasn't an option in terms of the food that was available to them after practice, around the lounge in the players' lounge. And I don't know that that has anything to do with Scotty's situation, but just another example of a team that, new ownership now, but in the past has been run kind of, that example, like a minor league franchise. These are million-dollar athletes, finely tuned machines, not giving them the proper fuel in an age where other teams have sports science and private chefs. It just seems like, another sort of missed boat. Again, don't know how much that has to do with the number that Don Waddell quoted, but I think if you're a Carolina Hurricanes fan, and maybe it's just the adjustment. Maybe it was just he needs to be lighter to play the workload. And I guess you might want to look at it as a positive in terms of, hey, whether that was a mistake on his part, underestimating the difference to being a number one on his part, whatever it was, there's a room for improvement. And by the indications of what Don Waddell said, steps are being taken to make sure it doesn't happen again. So, because I do believe that Scott Darling's a good goaltender. I think that his track record in Chicago, well, he wasn't the number one guy. And yes, they were a good team for the most part during his tenure there. There's enough evidence there that he's better than he was able to show last season. And so if you're the Hurricanes, you're optimistic that solving that weight issue will be part of getting back to that.
Woodley, you just got back from the goaltending conference that was going on in Nashville. How much time was dedicated to talking about how goalies are getting bumped too much and learning how to flop around?
We did watch a lot of video on Mike Smith puck handling, but
I'm just kidding. But maybe what were some of kind of the neat things you saw that was going on at the network? Like, what were some of the presenters bringing that you were like, oh, that's, I haven't seen this angle before?
There was lots of great stuff. Okay. Actually, I got to be a little careful because it's not normally something that media get to attend.
Okay.
And I hadn't really thought of that when I sent the story list to Jason this morning. So there's probably some things I can't give away, but there were some amazing presentations. The Swedish contingent was very strongly represented. I don't want to say all of them, but there was a good chunk of the Swedish Hockey League pro goalie coaches there and the junior coaches and the head of it all. And you've heard me talk about reverse VH as a technique. We've debated it. We've talked about it not working at times, poor execution. I got to meet the founder of the reverse VH, Linda Blomqvist from Luleå, and she walked me through the whole process of basically, so it's kind of neat to, how it came to be. It was kind of neat to meet the goalie coach that basically, has impacted how every goalie plays their post. So that was kind of fascinating. William Rahm from HV71 presented something on eye tracking. And you've heard me talk a lot about, head trajectory and tracking. And I thought that might be what this was when I saw the title on the presentation, but it was a whole nother level. There are glasses out there that can, they have a camera pointing forward, so they see what the goaltender is seeing. You can wear them under a glass, but they've got two cameras built in pointing at the eyes, and those cameras are actually able to measure where his eyes are looking, focal point, how long he's able to hold his gaze. And so you're watching this footage, and you're seeing, and they're able to measure like all these metrics in terms of quiet eye and gaze, and how long he's able to hold it as a goaltender. And just like, he was just scratching the surface, admittedly so on his part. But when you looked at their ability to measure vision in real time while a goaltender was following a puck around the ice in a practice, I mean, hey, the combine's going on right now for the NHL draft, and they're still doing things like jump tests and VO2 max. What I want to know about a goaltender is how are his eyes? How does he track the puck? How do his eyes actually perform and function? How does he read the puck? This would show, the puck would be over in one spot, and you could see when the gaze changed. You could see the eyes go somewhere else because it tracked where the eyes were moving on the ice. Is he looking off to find traffic and threats out of his periphery? Imagine being able to track all of that and measure all of that. That was, to me, one of the most fascinating presentations. So the fact that other goaltending coaches around the world are trying to sort of take those measurements, those mechanics, those biometrics, and quantify them and learn more about how to improve them, that was just one example. But it was, like I said, fascinating and, you know, kind of remarkable to see where it's going.
We've got Kevin Woodley on the line from InGoal Magazine, NHL.com, knows everything about the goaltending position. Woodley, let's just change gears here to the Stanley Cup Final. And, you know, it seems like Fleury, you know, through the first three games, seems like Washington has a game plan. Maybe talk about what you think is game plan. And does Marc-Andre Fleury have to change that game plan because of the way that they're approaching him?
I don't know that when you've had the success he's had that you would change anything at this point. But watching the first three games, and this really shouldn't come as a surprise. I mean, the way that he plays, you don't need to know much about goaltending to kind of figure, as aggressive as he is, as much as Dave Pryor, the goalie coach there, is talking about wanting his guys to hold their position and not retreat in the face of attacks, you know, it's common sense. You're going to try and attack that by moving the puck laterally. And listen, that's something the Capitals have been doing well throughout the playoffs, is they understand how offense works in today's NHL, whether it's broken plays and how you create scrambles around the net or moving the puck laterally. I mean, to me, anything that just measures shot quality based on distance that doesn't include pre-shot passing and track sort of how much you make a goalie move is missing the biggest component of it. And I think the Capitals understand that, and doubly so against Fleury. If he's going to play outside of his crease and outside of his post left to right, even on end zone play when the puck's in the end zone moving around the zone, obviously you're going to try and make him move left to right. And when you watch this series so far, there's been times where they've almost done it to a fault, where you think they're in a, you know, they've got a guy who's a good shooter in a pretty good spot, and they're still looking to make that move laterally. And to me, that screams game plan, and it's not one that I think would surprise anyone. It's one that Vegas has defended really well to this point through the season and in the playoffs. But if you can't defend it, and you're Fleury, and you start to maybe waver a little bit on trusting that that guy's going to have that back door for you, that's when you can start getting caught in between. And, like, you know, it's really hard to stick to that commitment of staying so aggressive and not retreating against a rush or as a guy's walking in if you don't have complete faith that the back door's been taken away. And as the Capitals start to pile up some goals here where they're tapping it into a net and Fleury's not even in the, you know, not even in the frame, you got to wonder if that, you know, gets him backing off a little bit or second-guessing that at all. My hunch is no. My hunch is he's had success with this system all season, that he'll stick with it. There have been times where his aggression has been sort of amplified because it's not that he's, you know, Dave Pryor likes you to get there and stay there, and there's been times where Fleury's getting there and he's still moving out and taking more ice. and the Caps are showing shot and then moving it laterally on him, sucking him even further out before they make that pass. And that's where you've seen, like, that's a little uncharacteristic. That's not necessarily what Dave Pryor wants. And that's where you've led to a lot of these situations where, you know, there's nothing but a 6x4 on the other side if that pass does get through.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, the other thing you feel you're concerned about is how USA Hockey is passing Hockey Canada in goalie development. The annual Hockey Calament goalie camp has been canceled, and there's some certificate program that USA Hockey that Canada doesn't have. Well, why are we falling behind US Hockey in regards to goalie development?
Well, you know, I mean, I got a chance to see what USA Hockey's doing. They had a presentation at this thing, and I don't want to overstate it too much because Hockey Canada, you know, I remember talking, we did a story out at Ingle, I want to say it's almost 4 or 5 years ago, where they were developing a coaching certificate program as well. And the idea, and America's about to roll theirs out July 13th, I believe. And so, hey, you could say, well, hey, Hockey Canada's been on us for 3-4 years and the state's just rolling out, we must be ahead. Well, in those 3 or 4 years, I mean, depending on where you are in the country, a lot of people have never heard of it. Here in BC, I know it's been really tough. I've talked to coaches, these are minor hockey coaches. These are not designed to create a bunch of, you know, private school goalie coaches. What this is designed to do, or what it was intended to do in the first place, was create a couple different levels of certification where you could be that volunteer dad coach, be on the ice, whether you're already coaching or whether you're just an extra person on the ice, giving the goaltenders the type of support that they've often lacked in a minor hockey environment, that they've gone to outside private lessons to attain. So just make sure they're not getting lost in practice, make sure when they are working on things, they're working on the right things, and kind of outlining that curriculum. Well, in a lot of areas of the country, some areas they've delivered, in a lot of areas they haven't. And the idea was to create, much like Sweden has, much like the Finns have, this sort of army of goalie coaches. More people, not professionals, not guys trying to make a living, but more people that when they're on the ice with a young goaltender, they're helping him, not hurting him. And they've really come up short, in my mind, to this point with this plan. And as a matter of fact, we're seeing it this summer. Instead of offering it to coaches, we're seeing the level one and two being delivered as a curriculum to the goaltenders directly in the form of goaltending camps. Much like a goalie would register for a private camp, they can register for these under 14 Hockey Canada camps. The good news is they're evaluating the kids and keeping an eye on who they need to keep an eye on. The bad news is they're basically adding another private camp, you know, under the banner of Hockey Canada to these kids' summers. And to me, where we fall behind at times and where I credit the Finns in particular for being ahead is they get these kids off the ice in the summer. As they get older, they do off-ice training. As they get even older, that off-ice training is goalie-specific. But the ice is out in the summer. They're not spending their entire summers being goalies at a really young age. And that's one of the shortfalls here in Canada is these kids are in private camps all summer long, some of them, and they become, they get burnt out. It's just too much. And I don't mean just like from a burnout standpoint. I mean from every long-term athlete development model I've ever read or seen says that the opposite of what is happening should be happening. And adding a camp to that, to me, the whole program was designed to make sure they had support in season when they need it, and maybe need to have less camps in the summer. So to actually create a camp that sort of competes with the private industry and makes it so little Johnny feels he's got to add that camp and now do the Hockey Canada camp and all the other camps he was planning to do, I think they've missed the boat on this one a little bit, and I kind of hope we see a correction. I know talking to one of the goalie coaches, the Flames AHL goalie coach in Thunder Bay, they combined the two, so the kids were getting the camp and parents were able to get the coaching certification, but I haven't seen that in other provinces. I certainly didn't see it here in BC, and at a time when USA Hockey is really ramping up the quality of the programs they're doing, their sort of their version of the program of excellence that Hockey Canada has canceled. In the USA Hockey, they've had it for the women. They're going to have it for the men in mid-August. They moved it back. They moved it strictly to a development format. They got rid of the evaluation part. They're bringing in NHL goaltenders, AHL goaltenders, guys who have been through the program before to serve in a mentorship role. They're just checking a lot of the boxes right now at a time when I see things going the other way in Canada, and it worries me a little bit because we lose a few medals, there's a crisis, we evaluate the goaltending. But just because things are going good doesn't mean you stop evaluating it. As a matter of fact, the Finns, they talked about that this weekend. For all the success that Finland has had, it's almost become assumed that the system already works and they've actually had a lack of resources in recent years towards goaltending because, hey, we already got great goaltenders. And they've seen the level slip with that lack of support. I'd hate to see the same thing happen here.
Woodley, one last one for you here quickly. We're getting a lot of texts about from coaches. You know, you have young people saying, you know, where can you kind of go get the bare minimum? Do you know somewhere where, like, if someone's going into their son's or daughter's going to novice and they want to just be like, I have no idea what I'm doing except just shooting at their glove hand all the time. Where's a place to start to get the bare minimum knowledge to help, you know, player XYZ become a goalie?
Well, I think that is this Hockey Canada goalie coach certification program. And level one and level two are done. I just can't tell you where to go get it. And it seems to be problematic in that information doesn't seem to be as readily available. I tell you what, I'll do a little research to see where in Edmonton and who they would contact and who they would do it to. Because I do think the people that built the program, the work that's been done on it, as much as it took a long time to get it ready, it's good stuff. It's good material. It works. And I just, to me, the issue I have isn't so much the curriculum in any way. It's the fact you're using it to have more goalie camps rather than its stated original purpose of creating more goalie coaches. That said, let me do a little digging because that's what I would recommend, you know, to listeners in Edmonton. If somebody's running that program, that certification program, that's going to help you get out on the ice with your son or daughter. And know that you're looking for the right things. You're integrating them into practice in a positive way, helping them get better and not hurting them.
Kev, great stuff, man. Next week we're going to talk about some possible goalie draft picks. All right.
I look forward to that. It's been interesting after seeing all the different development stuff in the different countries, how some of the philosophies may translate to some of the numbers we're seeing, both in a positive and negative direction with the goalies that are being picked from different areas and countries.
Appreciate it, man. Have a great day.
Okay, you too, guys. Thanks.